This is Robert Shahid.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Good to have you all with us here today. On the way to a conversation, I'll remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. More information at www.mecu.com. Or you can log on to steinershow.org and click on their banner. It's always there. We're joined here in the studio by Yassine Abdul Malik, who is a food service worker at Thurgood Marshall BWI Airport, member of Unite Here Local 7 Organizing Committee. And I personally discovered Yassine on a video of the demonstration on fair development they had in downtown Baltimore, where he gave an incredible speech about what it means to be a working class person in Baltimore today. And what rights should be. And so we've been dying to get him on the show. He's here now. Bill Berry's back in the studio, a retired director of labor studies at the Community College of Baltimore County, author of Union Strategies for Our Times and the First Contact to First Contract of Union Organizers Handbook. And Bonnie Lane is with us, local activist and journalist who's on the editorial board of Word on the Street. And welcome to all of you.
How are you doing?
Thank you.
So let me see if I get the sound. Something's not quite working. There, we got that pretty okay. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. And you can join us also at Mark Steiner. 410-319-8888 or jump into our Facebook pages. So as I said at the top, this is the 45th anniversary of the Poor People's Campaign. It was May of 1968, and I was part of that, that people went to the mall and camped out and built shacks. We're talking about black Americans, white Americans, Native Americans, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, poor people from all over the country that built on King's legacy. When King was assassinated, he was part of the sanitation workers' strike in Memphis, Tennessee, and realized and stood up and said, the only way America's going to change is if we organize workers and poor people in America to demand that change in a very organized way. And his dream was a multiracial coalition to do that, and that was Resurrection City. And there are many things going on right now to celebrate that. We'll tell you a bit about them in a minute at Reginald F. Lewis Museum on Thursday evening. There's going to be a very interesting and important event taking place in a march on Saturday. A Poor People's Camp, people coming from all over, especially all over the East Coast, to be there from unions and community groups from across. So, and we have our panel here. We want you to join us at 410-319-8888 with your thoughts and ideas about this. I mean, I think that one of the things that that's getting lost in all this, we keep talking about the labor movement has no power, that it's done, it's washed up, it's finished in America. But there's something is bubbling up from the bottom that is different than what was happening before. And Bill, let me ask you to jump in first. As a veteran of the show here, then go to Yassine. Talk about what you think the state of the union movement is now and how this whole movement around poor working people fits into it.
Well, I mean, the union movement has always been poor working people. And what you're seeing now is that what made the union movement successful for 40 years after the Second World War doesn't work anymore. And it took a long time. In many ways, the union movement is like a microcosm of society, that there's a 1% and a 99%. And so for the 1% of the union movement, who were the highly paid officers, things were great. But the numbers are down to 7%, which is where they were in 1910. So we've been dialed back 103 years or something like that in terms of percentage of the working class. And the global economy, there are all sorts of reasons. And just in the last week or so, there are now discussion boards from the AFL about what do we need to do to go on the offensive. But they're not looking seriously at, I think, what's gone wrong. And it's almost like somebody who is enormously overweight going to a buffet and saying, I need to do something. Because the real dramatic changes in the movement need to be made. And the movement have always come from the bottom up. I'm doing a project now in the 1877 railroad strike, and that just right. exploded. And it was unorganized, and they ended up having to bring the federal troops in to 12 different states. But the workers knew what they wanted, and they knew how to organize, and they had support from the communities, and they just let her rip. And that's what we need to do again. And that's what the Memphis workers did. And that was Martin Luther King's, not awakening, but he finally realized or had understood for a period of time that simply winning equal treatment in public accommodations was not going to change people's lives, and that he had to go after the economic class structure. And what that meant was opposing the war and invasion of Vietnam. It meant losing a lot of liberal white allies and the black middle class who had adjusted to segregation and to the society. And the courage and the heart of Martin Luther King was enormous. And when I do presentations now about how to reconstruct the unions, I always start with a slide of John Wayne as Rooster Cogburn, because true grit is what people need. And without that, you don't have it. And Martin Luther King had it.
So, Yassine, I reprise for us a little bit about what you were trying to say to the people of Baltimore, those who could hear you that day, about where you think we are. What do you think the conditions are that you're dealing with and addressing?
Well, the conditions that I'm addressing are basically things that's not only going on here in Baltimore, that's not only going on in Maryland, not only that's just going on in the United States, but it's going on globally, is the fact that conditions everywhere, for the most part, seem like they're collapsing, for the simple fact that it seems like our political leaders and those who we put in charge to protect our welfare and our interests and everything have basically been putting us on the back burner for a long time and everything, to whereas you have, like, take Baltimore, for instance. You have whole sections of Baltimore where you got blocks and blocks of vacants. You have communities that are infested with drugs and poverty. And a lot of this stuff stems from the fact that we don't have any jobs. And the job problem stems from the fact that our political leaders, even though they say they mean well and they may take actions, you know what I'm saying, that they say, you know what I'm saying, are going to help benefit us. But in the long run, when you see the results, when you actually judge the results of their actions, you clearly see that we're not getting the results that they promised us for the most part. And because of that, you know, just everything is just slowly but surely just deteriorating. And I think it's just sad that I talk to a lot of people about what's going on, and they always tell me that, well, there's nothing we could do about it. There's nothing we could do about it. I was talking to a young lady at the airport today right before I left, who I actually walked into the conversation. She was having a conversation with one of the union recorders,
organizers.
Recruiters. Yes, sir. And she just kept saying, there's nothing we could do about it. There's nothing we could do about it. And it's sad that we live in a nation where, and all of our heritage is, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, whatever your heritage is, at the end of the day, we all Americans. But even more importantly, we all come from a heritage of fight. We all come from a heritage of, you know what I'm saying, people that when faced with adversity and faced with injustice and everything, we normally come together. We try to come together as a nation to be able to conquer these issues and everything. And hearing people constantly saying that there's nothing we could do about it, it's just sometimes it could be demoralizing. You know what I'm saying? Especially doing this, helping with this union drive and helping to organize the union at the airport.
So, folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. We often talk, people call in and talk about Martin Luther King's dream, and we quote his "I Have a Dream" speech all the time. But there are other speeches around workers' rights that he gave that are even more critical. And where are we now with all that? I mean, what should be our response? And maybe a lot of you are, you know, that are not in low-wage jobs, but are in taking. You're still struggling because we're stuck in this rut, in this economic rut, and people are working hard to get through it. And where you think we should go? What do you think that legacy means to us now? 410-319-8888 is the number here. We want you to join us. I mean, so where do we go now? I mean, when we talk about, I mean, you have that book about how to organize, and Unite Here is out there trying to organize, working with organizing where you are in terms of the, you're a fast food worker, right?
Yes, sir.
So, and organizing fast food workers, which is a hard group to organize because it's so transitory.
Sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
People don't keep jobs a long time. They're there, they're gone, they're someplace else.
Yes, sir. Like McDonald's turnover alone at the airport is at 100%. Like nobody stays. Largely because of the disrespect, the lack of decent wages. and just outright just demoralization of just knowing in the back of your mind that I went to college or I went to a trade school, and because there are no real jobs left in the economy, I'm stuck flipping burgers and making subs and everything. And I definitely understand where they're coming from.
Because we have a world where people think they can really make it, because you see the stock market today skyrocketed. All those who are bullish in the stock market are loving what they see. So people, there's a contradiction people can't figure out, because it's just too difficult to put your hands around for most folks.
I'd like to take a poll of how many workers in Baltimore City can afford the stock market right now. How many people are exactly invested, like of everyone registered to vote in Baltimore City? What do you think the percentage is going to be of the people that actually can afford to play the stock market?
Probably pretty low is my guess.
Exactly. No,
not directly, but indirectly, people covered by 401ks,
right.
Pensions, stuff
whether
like that.
Whether they like it or not, they're playing it.
They're in it.
They're in it. They don't even know they're in it.
Well,
sometimes.
You know, you're in it. But I think to go back to what Yassim said, McDonald's strategy is we want to turn you over once a year. We don't want you around, because the longer you're around, you get to know your coworkers, and you begin to realize that you have something in common more than you have different.
Yeah.
And all this hatred about race and immigration and gay and not, whoever, it just divides us up, and it's divide and conquer.
If anything, it also pushes people away from the real issues also.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like how, like me personally, I don't have anything against gay marriage or any of the other minuscule issues that they brought up throughout the elections and everything. My main problem my main problem with everything that was going on is the fact that they refused to focus on the real issues like joblessness, poverty on the rise, the amount of people that's on some kind of services, whether it's food stamps or the amount of people that's on WIC and all these other different programs, and how it's been on the rise because of the fact that we don't have any jobs. Like, take McDonald's, for example. You got people, you know what I'm saying? Like, currently, as it stands, you have people working there 2 to 3 days a week. That's what people are being scheduled for like maybe 4 or 5 hours a day, and then you still risk getting sent home over to they say the issue is, you know, we're not making enough money or things like that. And then this is a multi-million-dollar McDonald's that I work at, where just last July alone, this franchise made over $400,000. In this same month, they gave everybody nickel raises. A 5 cent raise after this store made record profits of over $400,000. I mean, that's not fair, you know. And then on top of that, just the disrespect there, you know what I'm saying? That not only comes from the ownership portion, where and this particular McDonald's is owned by Laverne Vance, and she's not a nice person at all. But it not only comes from the
just
ownership
one piece portion. Of- supporting the show and sending in the money.
I don't think she'll give us any money today, no.
Yeah. But not only from the ownership point of view, but also from just the high management portions, like the GM there, Jerry Powell, and the store manager, Leslie Pact, and everything. They treat everybody with so much disrespect, and they more or less treat us like peasants in there. And it's terrible that people come in there and they deal with everything that they have to deal with only for the simple fact that they got bills to pay and they got, you know, basically just they have to support themselves and everything. And just to give you some examples about just some recent forms of disrespect, you know, there's one girl in there named Ariel Lupus, 28, mother of a couple of children. She was suspended on Sunday just for going to the bathroom. You know, and when she came back, the manager wanted to argue back and forth with her. This was Jerry, the GM, and everything. Argue back and forth with her, and she decided not to argue with her. And then he decided to suspend her to suspend her until the 28th of this month. So she's basically out of work for 3 months. I mean, 3 weeks just for going to the bathroom. You know, I don't know whether or not he did that out of spite or whether he did that to save any money.
And you said she was 28. And one of the things that's interesting here, because we have this mythology that everybody who works at McDonald's is a teenager.
No, sir.
I used to work at McDonald's. There are a lot of seniors working there.
And you say most people work with you in their 20s and 30s?
Yes, sir. You got a couple of retired people, but for the most part, it's people between the ages of 16 and going up into the early 30s.
And the hourly wage is what?
The hourly wage is $7.50. She feel like she's doing us a favor because minimum wage is $7.25 and she give us a quarter more. But When you're only giving us a nickel raise, and that's if you get a raise, because I went 2.5 years before I got another raise, which was for a nickel, you know, she's not doing anybody any justice.
Can you afford a house on that?
No, this is actually a part-time job for me. My main source of wealth out there is at my first job called Potbelly Sandwich Works, and I make $11.96 there, but that's only because I've been there for 6 years now, 6 years this month.
Well, on the way to the phone to you, Bill, I want you to jump in and just talk a bit about, so where did the union movement go from here? And how does this, how does this begin to even
do what Yassim is doing? You find people like him who's smart and heart, and you start. Smart, heart, and start. And for so long, the unions, with the exception of a couple, have been restricted to the highly skilled or highly organized people. I mean, one of the things I argue historically is that the McDonald's workers are what the General Motors workers were of the 1930s.
What do you mean?
In that it was a relatively low level of skill. People said, oh, you can't organize them. They're not immigrants. They're diverse, different populations. You can't get them. And, oh, they're just working in an auto plant. And the auto workers said, no, that's not true. And they built a powerful union and brought their conditions up. And the retail workers, the hospitality workers can do exactly the same thing. But they got to do what Yassim is doing, is get on the ground, talk to the co-workers, buck them up, show heart, you know, point them in the right direction. And what he said was absolutely true. Is not allow people to kind of just give up and say, well, what can you do? There's nothing you can do. It's always been this way. You can't fight City Hall. That's the attitude that you have to go after.
Yeah.
So how does what's happening Thursday night, which is going to be taking place, it's called Leaving Our Collective Footprint on the Poor People's March of 2013, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, and what's happening in Washington on this 45th anniversary of the Poor People's Campaign, how does it all fit into this?
It fits in with the unions. We have a lot of unions coming in that are going to be on the march on the Poor People's Campaign from here to D.C. We have Postal Workers Union. We have our Walmart people, which we're going to protest in front of the Super Walmart. And we have the AFL-CIO. Some members are joining us, and some are marching with us from the Baltimore Metro and Washington, D.C. councils. Unite Here people are marching. United Workers people are marching. There are a lot of union people coming in that are going to take up his cause again and try to get some results in D.C. this weekend.
Well, the trick is what happens if they don't get it. And I was listening to all these debates over gun control and things like that. And one of the expressions that people kept saying in at the federal level was that if so-and-so didn't vote for it, they were going to get NRA'd. And that means that the NRA would run the candidate against them in the next election. And I have never heard anybody being threatened with, if you don't vote for a $22 an hour minimum wage, which is what productivity should be, we're going to AFL you. You know, there's no power and no moxie.
So we have these demonstrations, which I think are important, and bring these people from across the country to make a stand and a statement in Washington. But then what?
Yeah, that's right.
Keep fighting. I'm running for mayor of Baltimore in 2016, and I'm a poor person.
Which is a good thing. But I'm talking about the hardcore organizing that has to be done to change things. That's the kind of stuff, I mean, and how do you even get that? Where does that come from?
Well, I think one thing that the unions have to do, the 1% we were talking about, is have to reallocate resources so that Yassim has resources and the organizing department have resources. And it's different industries in different areas. And there was just a thing out today about how the union movement can't really organize unless they go after the South. And if you look at the statistics from last year, union membership is concentrated in 5 or 6 states. I mean, yeah, we are 7% of the population. We're still 14 million people. That's a lot of resources. But if you're only in California, New York, Massachusetts, a couple of other places, you have this huge gap in the north and in the center of the country and in the south, and you have to go after that. And when you talk to organizing directors, they'll say, boy, it's really tough down there. Yeah, that's right. It is really tough down there. But you got to put the resources into it, and you got to go do it.
And, I mean, that's where we are. So, I mean, I'm curious, you know, when we talk about whether it's United Workers or Unite Here, I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, what I think needs to happen is we just need to find some way to be able to just awaken that American spirit. That's the one thing that definitely needs to be reawakened today. You know, it's a shame how you get, like, especially children now, you know what I'm saying, where they think that the real world is based on entertainment and becoming rap stars and rock stars and movie actors and everything. Like, what happened to the kids who actually wanted to be astronauts? What happened to the kids who actually wanted to be doctors and actually wanted to help people, not just do it just to become, you know what I'm saying, rich and successful and everything? You know, what happened to the progressives in this nation? You know, these are the things that I really think should be the focus on our nation, in our nation and everything. And on top of the fact, another thing that we definitely have to get over with, we have to get over the cowardice and just the overall neglect that, you know, not only coming from our political leaders, but just coming from the population in general, just the fact that some people just think that, oh, things just happen or something. And going back to what I was saying earlier, I hear a lot about people just saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we could do about it. And that's one of the strongest things that we have to get over if we want anything to change.
So this weekend, I'd like to let folks know how to be in touch and know what's happening on Saturday.
Okay. I'm also going to start with Friday night. Friday night we're having a community kickoff from 5 o'clock.
Thursday night.
No, this is Friday night's event. On the lot on Montford and Biddle Street, which is the lot that Anthony Anderson was murdered on, we're going to have some music and some entertainment and food for everybody who shows up. And this is going to be the kickoff party. And then Saturday morning we're meeting at the same lot at 10 a.m., and the march to Washington, D.C. is going to begin right around 11 a.m. This is a nationwide march with people coming in from all over the country,
right,
including Atlanta, Georgia. Southern Christian Leadership Conference is coming, including Selma, Alabama Freedom Fighters. And we're going to march into College Park around between 8 and 11 on Saturday. We're going to stay in College Park, and there will be a light show by Luminous Intervention and a speak out that night. Sunday morning, at 10 o'clock, we're going to gather at 5331 Baltimore Avenue in Hyattsville and march into D.C. This is Mother's Day, so the women are leading the march on Mother's Day, and Coretta Scott King actually led the march on this day many, many years ago.
She did that. And so how do people get in touch is what I'm trying to get to.
You can call 410-500-2168 or 410-218-4835. And also www.peoplespowerassemblies.org. And if you want to join us for the big planning meeting at 7 o'clock at 2011 North Charles at the Solidarity Center, you're all welcome.
And there is something Thursday night. Thursday night is the National Lawyers Guild, the Maryland chapter, is having an event May the 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of African American History and Culture, which is 830 East Pratt Street. It's open to the public. And all you do is go to rsvp@nlgmaryland.org. And there'll be people who have been there to the Poor People's Campaign 45 years ago, and others, and to hear speakers, music, and see videos and more, and just kind of remember what this was 45 years ago, but not remember it, in terms of remembering history, think about what it was, but what that was means for 2013 in terms of organizing and changing where we are today. So we will come back to this in a longer segment. We're going to see what happens over the weekend. I want to thank Bill Berry for coming in once again, retired Director of Labor Studies at Community College of Baltimore County, author of Union Strategies for Hard Times, and First Contact, First Contract, a Union Organizer's Handbook. Really important books for anybody who wants to organize unions, I think.
I had to get out of my hammock to come in, but for you, Mark, I'll do it.
Not quite in your hammock yet, my friend. Yassine Abdul-Malik, food service worker at the Thurgood Marshall BWI Airport, member of Unite Here Local 7 Organizing Committee. And where do you go to YouTube to see you do that speech? What do you hit? Well, Google his name and Fair Development, and we'll link it on our website. You'll see this incredible speech that Yassine did at the march a couple of weeks ago here in Baltimore. And Bonnie Lane, local activist and journalist who is on the editorial board of Word on the Street. Thank you all for being here. We're going to switch gears here in a minute, and we're going to come right back with a conversation kind of linking what we're seeing in America right now between the police killing in Baltimore, what happened in Cleveland with finding those women, the sexual assaults in the military, and the new targets the NRA seems to like, which are made of women's images. And what is the tie-in there? It's misogyny. What do we do about it? Stay with us. We'll be right back.